mercy and peace be to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear children of God, today the Church leads her children from the great peace that is the lesson you have just heard from Holy Scripture to understand that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Why bread, you ask? That is sometimes called the staff of life. Bread is a universally understood way of saying that which sustains life. So in our own culture, bread sometimes simply means money, nourishment, food, sustenance. These things that you need in order to exist in your earthly pilgrimage, all of that is conveyed by the term bread. In the Old Testament text that your ears were privileged to hear today, you noted that the children of Israel did not believe that God could or would sustain them in their journey in the wilderness. They wanted a different way of understanding, of recognizing, of seeing. But God had given His word and promised that He would. So, it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness, was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Then Moses, their pastor, said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Now we could spend a lot of time talking about the intended miracle of what happened when you kept the bread overnight, except when you were supposed to, and how it rotted and spilled and so forth. But the reality is that the people simply came to accept this as their entitlement rather than as what it was, gift of God. Now in the gospel, our dear Lord is also in the wilderness with a group of people who well knew of this first bread account. There, Jesus feeds the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they must have put these facts into the history of God's deliverance of the children of Israel in the wilderness, the other wilderness. Moses was certainly not hidden from them. Listen to their response to this miracle. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." The term prophet used in that sense refers to one just like Moses. Well, they were somewhat right and somewhat wrong. They got it halfway. And in the kingdom of God, halfway is not sufficient. With this language, they indicate that in this rabbi, they saw one like Moses, one who fulfilled the prophecies, the first one like Moses to deliver God's people from their enslavement in Egypt. For God had prophesied that one like, yet greater than Moses, would come to deliver them in their real need. You and I ask the question, what shall we eat? It usually has to do with looking for suggestions, or where shall we eat? It's usually more a question of choice for us than of wherewithal. It is for most of you not that you lack nourishment, but of your choice of nourishment. Sadly, those present when Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish got the sign. They understood that this was something special. They knew that this one could provide what they could not, bread. Their response to this is not to understand that the kingdom of God is among them, that this one should be their king. That way, we could, just like the Romans, have our own set of bread and circus routine. So we hear, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, We know that this is a temptation to all of God's children, even as it was to Peter. Peter, who led by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus himself testifies,
about
bad example of where earthly rationalism leads. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus also adds, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And here, dear friends, is where the expansion plans of men go awry. Yet to me, this is the natural, the default option of man's heart and desire. So today, many have given up on the clear and certain word of God, that is to create the church, and offer their own ideas of how it may be created by men. From this, dear children, you must flee, for such ideas are not from the voice of God, but from the lips of the deceiver. You too must heed the word of Jesus toward such thoughts and say, "Get thee behind me," for they flow from Satan's lips. Today, God inquires of you, do you want to go away also? And you, taught by God, as was Simon Peter, you now must say with your lips, having been taught these words by the Holy Spirit, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." In today's epistle, God, in his mercy and grace, reveals how he creates his church. And this you heard today, and you heard the epistle. First, it begins with this reality that those who gladly receive his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, them being the church. And then we hear further on, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is the true witness of the church, to continue in what God has given to create, to maintain and sustain his flock on earth. Then we read, "Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." This demonstrates the love of Christ in action. Today, we tend to call that mercy in our own culture. So the church is not merely a witness, it is also a mercy. And then we read at the end of the chapter, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. This was not a sect. This was the church of God on earth. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They would praise God, and they had favor with all people. They had life together as children of God. Witness, mercy, life together. What a clever thought. Maybe we should adopt that as just another old slogan. And finally, we hear the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord creates his church. He does it through his word. His word of law that points out that we are sinners, and his word of gospel that points us to Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection for the hope of salvation. This is how God created the New Testament church. It is how he creates his church today. And you and I are invited to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would bless his word as it is preached, heard, and lived. Father Luther has taught us to say it this way: God's kingdom certainly comes without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come among us also. And then we inquire, how does God's kingdom come? And the answer is that God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit. And we know that he does that through his word, through his sacraments. And then Luther goes on to add, so that by his grace we believe his holy word. For without the Spirit, we cannot believe the word. to you.